Often what one sees in art depends on the lens through which it's seen. For Filipino poet Nick Carbo, that lens is a product of two worlds. Born in Manila in the early 60s, he grew up with American culture. Carbo and his friends played cowboys and Indians, watched American TV shows such as Hawaii Five-O and Charlie's Angels. Now from his home in South Florida, he writes about the oddness of being Asian in America. His work, often a reaction to American popular culture, has earned him an underground following. Today on Intersections, Morning Edition series on artists and their inspirations, Lynn Milner reports.
American movies had a huge impact on Nick Carbo, especially musicals. One of his favorites was South Pacific. He and his sister saw it when they were kids with their parents in Manila.
My sister and I were adopted, and we identified with the two little children in the movie, Nengai and Jerome. And I saw them running around, trying to get the affection of the father, and he gave them their affection. And they sang that little song, Dites-moi pourquoi la vie est belle.
Dites-moi pourquoi la vie est belle.
And then the white American nurse comes along, and she's repulsed by these children because, you know, they're a different race. It's a wonderful story where she conquers those prejudices. But yeah, I think it was getting the affection of white parents for these brown children is what struck me most.
Nick Carbo's parents, who are white, were born and raised in the Philippines, the children of European immigrants. They adopted Carbo when he was two and brought him into a world of privilege. They lived on an estate where they threw lavish parties and had lots of houseguests, Peace Corps volunteers, writers, and priests. His parents often wanted Carbo and his sister to entertain their visitors. They sang, did native dances, and recited poetry, almost exactly like the children in South Pacific. Somehow, Carbo associated the musical with a jarring experience he had a few years earlier. One day, a Filipino woman appeared outside the gate of his house with her little boy, claiming that her son was the one who should have been adopted. She pointed at Carbo and said,
"That one is probably damaged and it's full of worms and he's probably retarded or something." And I don't know. And she was screaming and blah, blah. And I was just scared, too.
Carbo says seeing the woman and her son planted the seed that he needed to fight for his parents' affection. If he lost it, he would be the one outside the gate. South Pacific only reinforced the possibility of rejection. Carbo began writing after he moved to the U.S. for college. In a poetry workshop, he found he had a flair for humor, especially when observing American culture, like the 1945 movie Back to Bataan. John Wayne leads Filipinos and Americans in an underground resistance against the Japanese during World War II. He befriends a Filipino boy who wants to join them.
Sleeping in swamps and there'll be days without food.
Sounds okay to me.
But you're much too important for us to risk. You're the guy we're fighting this war for.
In his poem, Little Brown Brother, Carbo imagines he is that boy.
I'd be the one who would cross the Japanese lines and ask for tanks, air support, or more men. I'd miraculously make it back to the town where John Wayne is holding his position against the enemy with his Thompson machine gun. As a reward, he'd rub that big white hand on my head, and he'd promise to let me clean his Tommy gun by the end of the night.
Carbo seems to always have his radar up for references to Asians in American popular culture. Sometimes he finds them, even when they're not there. Like when he misunderstood the lyrics to the 1960s hit, Secret Agent Man.
Secret Agent Man, Secret Agent Man. They've given you a number and taken away your name.
When I first heard the Johnny Rivers song a long time ago, I thought, Asian Man, yeah, they're talking about me. And then not until I looked up on the internet and I said, it's agent. And then I came to the realization, that could probably be the best metaphor for the Asian American male. A lot of times he's invisible in this American culture. So he can infiltrate places where he's really not seen.
So Carbo wrote a book about it called Secret Asian Man. Here's an excerpt.
He's given a number, he's given a new name, he's given an automatic pistol, he's given a license to kill. He could be Chinese, Nepalese, Cambodian, Timorese, Laotian, Indonesian, Burmese, or Thai. He can kick higher than Jackie Chan. He can be as devious as Dr. Fu Manchu. He can speak better English than Charlie Chan. He can even make a great pot of Mugu Gai Pan.
It just struck me that this character is quite different from the Filipino boy who helps John Wayne.
Oh, yes. Well, he has grown up now, and he has all this anger being in a society where he is feeling invisible.
Carbo says he's troubled that Americans seem to know so little about the Philippines, even though their influence is so strong there. To express those feelings of invisibility, he writes about the American cultural icons that have influenced him, particularly American movies.
That's one of the first points of contact that America has all over the world. Marlene Dietrich, John Wayne, Charlie Chan, well, all products of the American imagination of what their culture is. In a way, it's a way of dominating the imagination of the world. And by writing about these influences, it's my way of kicking back.
Nick Carbo has written 3 books of poetry and edited 3 anthologies of Filipino literature. He teaches at the University of Miami, and he's the visiting poet at Columbia College in Chicago. And while he's a respected voice in Asian American circles, Carbo doesn't expect to reach a wide audience. But Americans who do read his work may see their own culture in a new light. For NPR News, I'm Lynn Milner in Hollywood, Florida.
Nick Carbo reads more of his poetry at npr.org.